This morning, we're looking at connection and communication. And I don't know how connected you feel. We live in a world that is very connected, don't we? And yeah, sometimes that's wonderful. It's great that we can be texting and phoning our daughter as things are happening or not happening today. You know, not the the way it was when we had our children. but it's good to be connected, isn't it? So we've got a little film. Although it's slightly more problematic now that he's discovered that the most exciting thing is pressing the things to turn you off. and when my mother-in-law was dying over the summer, we were able to share as a family and pray together on WhatsApp, and, you know, join in on FaceTime. It was a beautiful thing. When our daughter was in Australia for 4 months, which I know some of you are going through that kind of separation as well, we were able to talk to her, the other side of the world. I want to compare all that with an experience that Alan and I had when we were engaged. It was just a few months before we were due to get married. I was a student nurse at London. I mean, Lorna may remember this, I don't know. And Alan was on his elective in Morocco for 6 weeks. It was a great timing, just before finals. And. Yes, yes, you can. There is a picture of us not looking terribly connected. Alan and his brother were quite geeky, and I despaired. Anyway, I was living in the nurse's home, John Harrison House, which was a tower block of 7 floors. And we had one phone for each floor for about, I don't know, about 35 nurses on each floor, something about that. Yeah. And Alan's in Marrakesh where the post was erratic, so I was sending letters and he was sending letters to me, but that was all very difficult. And the phone only worked sometimes where he was. So he would send me a letter saying, I'm going to phone you on such and such a night. Trying to tie in with my shifts and things, and I would literally be camping out outside the little box where the phone was on the 7th floor of John Harrison House, waiting for the phone to ring, hoping he could get connection, and of course only talking for a couple of minutes because it was terribly expensive and it was the missionary's phone, it was really difficult, you know, for that 6 weeks. I think we spoke twice. And there was one particular day where I got a message from the mission organisation that he'd gone with, say that there'd been a road accident, and didn't give me any details and I could get hold of you, and we felt so disconnected. It was, you know, it was really quite frightening. Connection matters, doesn't it? And, you know, I don't know how long our relationship would have lasted if we'd had to rely on that kind of connection. Not sure how long it would have lasted if you carried on playing that blasted game either. But we yearn for something more connected, don't we? So a reading now from John's Gospel, and this will be very familiar words to you. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. And such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. That whole word remain, did you notice how often it came? Remaining in, that connection. And I wonder when we read those words that Jesus said to his disciples, what kind of connection do we think he has in mind? And I can't help but think that the kind of sharing the everyday things on FaceTime or WhatsApp is close to the kind of prayer life that Jesus is talking about here. You know those kind of little bits and pieces that we might share with people that are close to us, that constant updating. You know, sometimes it's a bit annoying, isn't it, for some people if they're putting it on Facebook all the time. But if you've got someone that you're really close to and you're separated, it's so vital, isn't it, just to be able to share the everyday things. You know, remain in me as I also remain in you. Suggests a kind of nourishing, all day, every day kind of communication. And God uses the picture of the vine and describes how we are joined to him. And that connection is vital because the very life of the vine depends on it. I'm going to watch that film again about how you might join on a vine. Seems to be done to the thing that's being grafted on, and just how covered it is by all that sort of sellotape. You know, it almost looks a bit suffocating, doesn't it? And yet, we know that if that branch, if that new grafted in vine is going to thrive, there needs to be lots of connection, doesn't there, with the original plant. And to do that, that new vine has to be exposed and cut back to take that place, and something has to bind them together. I wonder how grafted in we feel to Jesus. How connected are we? I can't help thinking that so often we are much more like my 20-year-old self, sitting and waiting at certain times by the phone box, when we could be connected throughout the day, sharing the seemingly unimportant stuff, but actually growing into our relationship with Jesus. And perhaps this is a good place to stop and reflect on our own connection to the vine this morning. How connected do we really feel to Jesus? So we're gonna spend 5 minutes, we're gonna listen to a hymn while we do that. And I want you to ask yourself some questions with Jesus this morning. Are we in good connection with Jesus? Are we WhatsApping and FaceTiming all day? Or are we waiting outside the phone box at only preordained moments? Are we joined to the vine? And if so, how strong are the things that bind us to him? They're the two things I want you to think about. Are you on WhatsApp with Jesus? Or are you just meeting him at the phone box once a week? And what are the things that are binding you to him? So we're going to play a hymn, and just give yourself 5 minutes on your own with Jesus to think about those questions. Thank you. chance to just reflect with God on your own, I'm going to ask that you might turn to your neighbour and maybe just pray for each other. Share a little bit, if you're able. Just pray for each other, that we might be really joined to Jesus, really connected. So I'm going to give you about 5 to 10 minutes. Maybe if you just want to chat, that's fine. Jesus is here in our chat. It's fine. We don't have to adopt the position to talk to him. So 5 to 10 minutes just to perhaps share with your neighbour or pray with each other that we might be more connected. Throughout the weekend, because how we connect to each other and how we connect to Jesus is also bound up, isn't it? How we share with each other. So we've seen how important connection is, but Jesus tells us that connection must lead to communication if we are to be healthy and bear fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. I think one of the problems I've often had with prayer is that I get a bit too concerned about what I'm going to say. And forget that the communication I have with him is actually much more about changing who I am. I just want to read to you a section from this book, which I found so helpful. Abide in me as I abide in you. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. The message is clear. Outside this abiding, nothing can be done. No fruit can be born. It is worth pausing here to take that in. There is a fundamental choice to make as to where we rest our life. We tend to think of discipleship in terms of things we do, but it begins and continues in the choice to be with. I still forget this, plunging onwards into doing things for God until I become as empty as my words. Then, even as I fall apart, the invitation comes again in all its startling simplicity. Come and see where I live. The door is always open and the table is laid. In times to come, the disciples will be sent to the ends of the earth, but they will never be far from home. I am with you always, Jesus promises. Abide in me. Our life in God rests not in something we do, but in what is given. God has chosen us as dwelling place and is at home within. Jesus says, I abide in you. And in the Gospels, we see this choice expressed physically in Jesus sitting down to eat with those labelled by others as tax collectors and sinners. And just as with our clothes, labels have a habit of sticking out so that all can see them. But the God who knows our names has no use for identification tags. God is at home with who you are. God is at home with you even though you are not at home with yourself. God's choice is made. Our choice is before us. Come and see where I live. Remain with me. I think that is an amazingly simple and yet challenging thing, isn't it? That so often we add on bits to the relationship, making it so much more hard work than it perhaps needs to be. I suspect that most of us have people who are really, really precious to us in our life because we can be with them in easy silence. Because we don't need to talk and fill all the gaps. It's the sign of a comfortable relationship, isn't it? And yet, how many gaps do we give God? How often do we spend time just abiding with him. I want to just plug another book at this stage. If you haven't come across this, it's a real gem. I'm working my way through it really, really slowly because I think it's the sort of book you want to chew over. And basically the premise of this book is that you'll remember from the Gospels that the disciples call Jesus their rabbi, don't they? And we have a vision of what that word rabbi means. And certainly at the time of Jesus, it was very common to have rabbis. You know, if you were a boy, you went to school, and if you were an intelligent boy, you were kept on at school, and you did some learning from the other rabbis. And if you were a real star, you became a rabbi yourself, and you collected disciples. And the way that worked is that they came to live with you. You learned your rabbi. It wasn't that you learned what he had to say to you, and of course there were always he's. It was that you learned him. You learned what made him tick so that you could become like him. He says, John Mark Comer says this, apprenticeship to Jesus, he says apprenticeship is more of a model that we would understand rather than the rabbi model. Apprenticeship to Jesus is about turning your body into a temple, a place of overlap between heaven and earth, an advanced sign of what one day Jesus will do for the entire cosmos when heaven and earth are at long last reunited as one. This is the single most extraordinary opportunity in the entire universe. So let your body become God's home, and it's set before you every single day. You know, the kind of prayer that Jesus is encouraging us to engage in is that abiding, that living in, that inviting Jesus in to eat with us and him and us to eat with him. We aren't just trying to channel his wisdom, you know, learn it so that we can reproduce it. We are actually in the process of trying to learn our rabbi and become more like him. The communication we have with Jesus when it's like this actually changes our DNA. It changes who we are. When we are joined to the vine, we bear fruit because we've become like him. You know, there is that genetic transformation, isn't there? When you join the vine and you produce the fruit that vine is made to produce. But I just want to ask a bit of a question here. What kind of fruit? What kind of fruit do you imagine bearing? You know, literally, what kind of fruit do you imagine? When Jesus talks, I mean, obviously he talks about a vine, so there are some hints there that different things grow on vines, don't they? So, yeah, I mean, grapes, anything else?
Dates.
Yeah. See, I have a sneaking suspicion that there are times in our life when we are joined to Jesus where we produce grapes. And there are other times when all we produce is raisins. I think raisins are nice, but they are somewhat devoid of the life-giving juice, aren't they, that makes the original fruit so delicious. And you don't look at a raisin and think, oh, how scrumptious, do you? I mean, you might think they're useful. Maybe you do. Maybe you're a raisin fan. I don't know. But, you know, they're good because they last a bit longer and you can put them in stuff. Whereas grapes, on the other hand, are a bit quite prone to squishing, aren't they? They don't last very long and are often only used to make wine. Now, whilst I'm sure Jesus had nothing against raisins, what he wants us to be is so joined up to the vine that we are producing that luscious, juicy, fresh fruit. Fruit that points to the vine and its health. Fruit that can be sacrificed in wine. And the kind of disciples Jesus is seeking are those who are full of the life of Christ. Fruitful friends who are still joined to the vine, sacrificial disciples who are prepared to pour themselves out, perhaps prepared to be squished into wine. Disciples that taste of God's goodness. And when we lose the connectedness and the communication with the vine and with Jesus, we easily become raisins, don't we? Slightly dried out, long-term versions of the fruit that should be being produced and renewed daily. We might feel that we will last longer, but at what cost? Dry and wizened, we no longer resemble the vine from which we came. And what we need if we've become a raisin, of course, is rehydration, isn't it? We need that life-giving sap that can only come from being fully connected to the healthy vine. So if we're feeling a bit dry, maybe a little bit lacking in our old fruitfulness, now is the time to reconnect and rehydrate. We're going to worship a bit more as we move into coffee time.